SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. Good to have you with us. On the radio side as well, everybody's digging it. We got a lot to do with the UFC and Fight Skinny. Let's bring in Mafia, Brian Ciano to do it. All right, who has more at stake on Saturday night, Holloway or Qatar?
I mean, Scott, I don't even know why anyone's even asking this question. Like, it's actually some kind of debate here going. Obviously, Holloway. The guy's the former champ. He's coming off his back-to-back losses to Volkanovski, and the second one people thought that he won. People were calling for maybe a third fight to, you know, settle with the trilogy. So as him the number one guy besides the champion, meanwhile, Qatar the number six guy, obviously the number one guy has the most to lose now.
Yeah, I think so, without a doubt. But I have to ask you, I thought today the story about no longer will the UFC and USADA punish fighters for smoking the K-Funk Swiss cheese. They're going to allow fighters to blaze?
Yes, thank God. Way to catch up with the times. I mean, we've been talking about this forever. For years, you and I have been talking about this on this show and on all the other shows that we've had, you know, whether it be for this sport, for the NFL, especially for combat sports, the NHL. Like, you need to let these guys just do this. All these guys here, you know, getting hooked on pills or, you know, these other things that they're doing to try to manage the pain that they get in their career. It's ridiculous that they put weed on these, you know, performance enhancing lists. We know that is not a performance enhancer. All it does is maybe, you know, let you feel a little less and make you recover a little faster. It's not going to help you in the cage. It's not a steroid. It's not something like that. So finally they get with the times and have taken that off the list. Now they don't want people fighting high. They said, you know, they'll watch out for you. And if you look like you're high, if you look like you're blazing the day of the fight, they're going to yank you. But you're no longer going to get punished, no longer get suspended, no longer get fights taken away, you know, losses on your record because of it or money taken out of your pocket. All that is apparently gone. Weed is okay now, according to the USADA and the UFC.
God bless them for coming to their senses. I think that they're always showing me something new and more than everyone else. Like the UFC is always cracking the egg and doing something better than all the other sports. Nice move by Dana and all of his friends at the UFC pulling that off. He says that Nate Diaz won't face Tony Ferguson when and if he returns. Is that legit?
Yeah, it's legit because he was saying, you know, that he's going to come back. He's got kind of an agreement in place almost. They're not fully there. They're locking in the last details, but they are close to him making his return, and that it would be against a high-level guy in the lightweight division. You know, basically saying that it's a guy that if he beats this guy, you know, he's going to be in possible title contention. It's a little ridiculous considering how long it's been since he's had like a major win, but you know what? They want to get the big names in there, the people that draw him in. So the Diazes always get controversy and people going. So when you look at the rankings then, you know, Oliveira's up there, but his agent says he wants a title fight. Poirier and Connor are fighting each other. It's not going to be Tony Ferguson. That really leaves to me one guy left in the top five or six that would actually matter and mean something if he fought him, and that'd be Justin Gaethje. Do we have Gaethje versus, you know, Diaz in our future? That seems like what Dana's leading towards.
That would be a perfectly violent answer, and I would love to see that fight. Connor says he wasn't surprised at all to see Khabib, quote, scurry away, end quote, into retirement. Let's not forget, Khabib beat your ass.
Yeah, not only did he beat his ass, you know, he didn't just ragdoll him and choke him out. We know that is actually a big part of it. But that's the first time we saw, you know, Khabib come in there and catch somebody with a fist. And you're like, wait, this guy's got stand-up? He caught Connor. He popped him. And Connor, you saw him, like, stumble back, like, not expecting that. So for him to act like this guy is running away from him is ridiculous. And it's just, you know, once again, the back and forth with Connor, like, choose who you want to be. You know, good guy, bad guy, in between, whatever it is, just stick to it. Because when he retired after the fight against Gaethje, he was just, you know, tweeting, you know, great career, much respect to you, I'm sorry for your father's loss, I'll hold down the division. Now he's acting like this guy's running away from him.
We welcome in all of our radio affiliates, SportsMap, Byline, Mightier 1090, San Diego, and of course, Satellite Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204, the Sports Grid Radio Network. Hope you're digging us. It's Pharrell. I'm talking to Mafia, Brian Ciano, about UFC. We've already said they're going to allow weed. Now they're talking about psychedelics to study brain health. I mean, this is great, Mafia. Can we go smoke and shroom at our next card that we go to together? This sounds fantastic.
Yeah, they had a big HBO, you know, Real Sports report on this at the end of last year. They're talking about different athletes and different, especially the combat sports. They had Kerry Rhodes, the former Jet safety. They had Carcillo, the former, you know, enforcer in the NHL, talking about the use of psychedelics and have, you know, there was helping them fix their brain and the craziness that goes on after all these concussions and the post-traumatic, you know, brain injuries that you get in your career. And they also had on there Ian McCall, our buddy Uncle Creepy, the former UFC fighter, where he took Dean Lister to one of these ceremonies where they kind of had him tripping. And they're saying that, you know, the studies are showing that when you have these guys on these psychedelic trips, it kind of overloads your brain so much that it almost rewires itself and fixes itself when you're doing this. And there's a lot of studies out there, not just guys just going out and tripping in, you know, teepees and stuff in the desert. There's a lot of John Hopkins and others doing studies on this. And it looks like that might be the future for some people in fixing brain injuries.
I got to tell you, in college in the 80s, I only tripped about 1,000 times. Are we on the air? Check 1, 2. Real quick. Dana doubles down on the pirates that are going to steal his fights. He says he looks forward to the crying and begging. Are they going to, like, sue people that steal the fights?
You know, that's what it seems like it's going to be, you know, coming down to, because if he's talking about he's got something for these, you know, bleep bleeps, and, you know, he's going to make people cry and beg and, you know, complain, and they're going to be at his mercy, basically. It makes me feel like, yeah, he's going after everyone he can, anyone that streams those fights, anyone that puts that out there for other people to view for free. He's coming after you with his lawyers. That's what it sounds like to me.
He's pouring cold water on Adesanya Jones. Why?
Because it's just not going to happen. The weight difference is too much now. If it was at 205, if John Jones was a light heavyweight, then this Adesanya move up there would be perfect. But now John Jones is going up to heavyweight and saying he's not coming back. So now you're going to have Adesanya jump from 185 all the way up to 240 to go fight him. I just don't think it's going to work out.
I promise you tomorrow we'll talk bad about Adrian Broner on this show.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Coast to coast on Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Everybody's doing it. They just won't admit it. We bring in Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider. He's on every Monday, Thursday, and Friday on this very C2C show. And you can follow Matt Kaplan NFL on Twitter. Alrighty. Let's start off with my porous Steelers today and the major changes that occurred today in Pittsburgh when they got rid of some people. Bottom line, changes were coming. You could smell it in the wind.
Yeah, Farrell, good to be with you. So I said during our Monday segment on the Steelers, I said there might be some changes coming on offense, and namely Randy Feakner, their offensive coordinator. The word around the league was the last couple of weeks that he probably would not return, and the Steelers confirmed that on Thursday. They're not going to renew his contract, so he is out as offensive coordinator. But there were other changes. That's the biggest one, but there are other changes. Their tight ends coach, James Daniels, retired. Sean Surratt, their offensive line coach, he did not have his contract renewed. Their defensive backs coach, Tom Bradley, will not have his contract renewed. And, you know, Farrell, as good as their defense has been over the years, they've had issues developing their secondary. Joe Hayden was not drafted by Cleveland, not the Steelers. So they brought someone in from another team. Micah Fitzpatrick, they had to make a trade for Micah Fitzpatrick. Yeah, he's been great, but they didn't draft him. So that's the one area Kevin Colbert, their great GM, has not gotten it done. And Tom Bradley, their defensive backs coach, is out as a result of it. So lots of changes here for the Steelers going forward. None of them really surprising. When you disappoint in the playoffs year after year, unfortunately, look, Mike Tomlin's a great coach, but they're trying to get back to the Super Bowl. And to do it, he felt these changes were needed. And again, none of them were really surprising.
But the D coordinator stays, correct?
For now, Keith Butler is still their D coordinator. Butler's been there a long time, no question about it. And I know fans are up in arms. When you and I talked about this earlier this week, people were like, "Why aren't everyone going? Why don't you get rid of everyone other than the head coach?" And that's not the way the Steelers see it. But clearly, defensively, particularly in the secondary, they've got to get better. Once again, their defense didn't show up when it needed to. Yes, they've had injuries. Three key guys that we're out for the season. But this team, your Steelers, underachieved this season. I think they would tell you that privately, as I've heard from a couple people.
All right, so what's the deal with Ben Roethlisberger? I've heard everything from his age. I've heard everything from the $41 million cap hit. You and I have discussed this. At the end of the day, they really aren't paying him that much money in terms of, if you're putting it in concert with all these other quarterbacks around the league that are making 10, 15, 20 million more than him.
Yeah, it's really crazy. So what happened for our last season, they restructured his contract. He's only signed through 21. He's got a very low base salary of only 4 million. But what they did is they put a $15 million roster bonus in it. And that roster bonus must be picked up or decline by March 19th, as I understand it. But the big thing, though, and this comes into his cap number and his roster bonus, that cap number is $41.25 million. Obviously, there's no way in heck that he could go through with that with the club. If they bring him back, they're going to have to extend his contract to prorate that signing the salary cap number to spread it out, because there's just no way they can handle that. And don't forget, Pharrell, the salary cap now around the National Football League, though I'm told the belief around the league is it's going to be higher than $175 million. That's the floor. This past year, we had it at $198 million. It should not get close to that. But the fact of the matter is the Steelers are usually up against it. They've got a tough decision to make. And as you and I talked about on Monday, they don't know who their starter is for 2021. Mason Rudolph enters the final year of his rookie deal. He's had mixed results. We just talked about Roethlisberger. They got to make a decision, and it would not surprise me at all if one of their first few picks in this year's draft winds up being a quarterback.
Wow, that's fascinating. All right, let's talk about what's going on in Jacksonville. You know, all day long we've heard that this Urban Meyer deal is close. What's the reality here?
Yeah, in the next 48 hours, barring a snag, this should get done. Now, the way I understand it, their focus has been on Meyer from the beginning. Yes, they've interviewed five or six other candidates, but if you've noticed, they're not getting second interviews because they're waiting for Meyer to agree to a deal. I do believe it'll get done by again. Talking to a pretty prominent coaching agent over the last 24 hours, he pegged the deal 5 to 6 years at $8 to $10 million a year. He said, you got to get him, not quite, but you got to get him close to Belichick range, Pete Carroll range, because the guy's one of the best college football coaches in the history of the sport. He doesn't need a comeback. He's got all the money he wants, and he's got a lot of leverage here. And if you're Urban Meyer, why would you not take this deal? You get everything you want. If he wants personnel control, he could have it. You're going to have the first pick overall. He can get Trevor Lawrence, is by far the best player available for the draft, not just the best quarterback. Most amount of projected cap space for 2021, Pharrell, and most draft picks over the next three seasons. This is a dream scenario that former GM Dave Caldwell set up. Unfortunately, he's not here anymore as a GM. He was let go during the season. But the fact of the matter is, this team, through all of its losing, is set up very well for the future.
Well, so that's all wonderful and fine. How do you think he'll do at the next level? He was brilliant in college everywhere he went. Will he be able to transcend that to the NFL and to professionals?
All right, so Pharrell, and I'm glad you asked this, because that's the million-dollar question when you look at college coaches. Chip Kelly was a failure at the NFL level. Did he make the playoffs? Did he have a winning record? Yes, but he wound up getting fired. If you go through all the great coaches, Steve Spurrier, who was a disaster as an NFL head coach with Washington, some make it, some don't. There are no slam dunks, despite Meyer being a brilliant coach and being talented and all that. First of all, what kind of staff is he going to assemble? What kind of coaches is he going to assemble? Again, if he takes the job, which the percentage is very high. That's the key here. What kind of coordinators? Who are your teachers? If you're trying to assemble a college staff and bring them into the pros, that's not always the best way to do it. Now, Chip Kelly did both. He had a pretty good staff. In fact, Philly brought over seven of the coaches that he had on a staff when he was fired in after the 15th season. When you really look at it, I do believe he would be great, because I think he's guy's been around a long time. He's not like Lincoln Riley, who's a terrific coach, but is young, and maybe he doesn't quite know what he might be getting into if he does take an NFL job. I do believe Urban Meyer would do great at this level, because, quite frankly, they need a lot of help. and they're in a complete rebuild. They're the NFL's true rebuild. When we look at their roster, they've got a lot of money, a lot of draft picks, but they've got the worst roster, and all they have to go is up. And it would be smart to rebuild with Urban Meyer. The question is, if he gets a job, does he want to fulfill a contract that could be 5 or 6 years?
What do you think happens to Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville? How do you think it'll play out?
And by the way, I'm not buying anything about Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, being the first pick overall. No way, no how. You and I debated this a couple weeks ago, whether it be a top 10 pick. I still right. believe he will. But when you really look at this situation, Pharrell, he'll do great because, as one GM told me, he is the closest thing we have to Andrew Luck in the last 20 years at the quarterback position. That is why he will do well at the next level.
Wow. All right. So Adam Kaplan, our great NFL insider on Coast to Coast. Let's get into the Lions. They finally make a hire. I got to tell you, it's like dancing with the devil. Anyone that gets a job in Detroit with that franchise, their lives go down the toilet. I mean, it doesn't take long for them to get fired either.
Well, look, Brad Holmes, who's now their new GM, he gets the title of executive vice president and general manager. He's going to have full personnel control. This is a good situation in that Matthew Stafford is a veteran quarterback. They got to protect him. This is a semi-rebuild. There are some really good offensive pieces. Defensively, Pharrell, there's just not enough talent. He's got a long deal. He's got full personnel control. By the way, they don't have a head coach. Arthur Smith is a guy that they like. He's going to get a second interview if he wants it. And Arthur Smith right now, other than Urban Meyer, is by far the number one candidate around the National Football League to be a head coach. He is doing really well, I'm told, in a lot of interviews.
Yeah, he's had a lot of them. Interesting to see if he ends up in Detroit with the new GM and see how that plays out. We'll come back and talk about Saturday's playoff games, Adam, including Rams, Packers, Ravens, Bills.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell with a Adam Kaplan shot again, and we'll do it again tomorrow, getting ready for those Sunday divisional games. Going to be an incredible weekend. Before we get into these Saturday games, tell me why the Jets let Salah walk out of that building without giving him that job.
Yeah, Robert Salah, Pharrell, I thought for sure, based on what I'd heard that he interviewed very well, I suspected that at the very least getting – the second interview was really the first interview in person. The first one was a Microsoft Teams or Zoom session. And the second interviews around the National Football League are going to be in person. Yeah, I was surprised. I know from talking to Jet sources that they're big on gathering information, then rehuddling and going over who they like, who they didn't like. Then they decide from there who's going to get another interview. But here's the issue. If you like the guy or anybody else, you got to make sure they don't start traveling the country, because Robert Saleh then interviewed on Wednesday night with the Eagles. There are a couple other teams that want to talk to him. He already interviewed with the Lions and other teams. So you got to be careful. Now, the thing the Jets have going for him, as you noticed, no head coach has been hired. There's still plenty of that of this week. So plenty of them, although once Urban Meyer goes off the table, that's one that goes off. But he's not a guy that anyone has brought in, because everyone knows that he's going to go to the Jaguars. So they're in okay shape. But I do know this, when a guy gets out of your building who's a head coaching candidate, if you really, really like him, you probably want to start talking contract terms with the agent. And you want to try to make sure that the guy that gets out of your building knows that they want him. So I would expect the Jets, by the way, they started right away after Gase was fired. They started right away and making phone calls and scheduling interviews. The Eagles, by the way, Pharrell, they're the one, unfortunately, they got started a little bit late. But by the time they're done, they're probably going to wind up interviewing 10 to 12 people.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. My God, who have they not interviewed?
Yeah, I know. They right now, when you look at their situation, they talked to Arthur Smith. They talked to Robert Saleh. Arthur Smith, by the way, is, as I said on the previous segment, is the hottest candidate right now of the non-Jaguar people. He is the guy. Atlanta really likes him. Philly likes him. A lot of teams like him. He's assembled, I'm told, a pretty good staff, which should include Dave Ragone, who's an offensive coach for the Bears, who played at Louisville. You might remember him. I remember Dave from the Senior Bowl. He's a guy who's highly thought of by Arthur Smith. So Smith, for his work, Pharrell, with Derrick Henry, with their pass game, and how about the job he's done with Ryan Tannehill and all of his 40 touchdowns? Don't get any better than that. And that is why Arthur Smith, the son of FedEx chairman Fred Smith, is a hot head coaching candidate.
How did Pace and Nagy survive, and will Trubisky be there?
All right, let's start with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace. So I'm told that they both found out, I believe Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. The coaches were told Wednesday afternoon that they'd be back. Actually, Wednesday late morning before the press conference, the coaches found out. And let's start with Matt Nagy. The guy's been a head coach for 3 years. He's made it 2 years in the playoffs. It's hard to fire a guy after that. Now, you could say the team has regressed a little bit the last 2 years, and that's a fair argument. They were only 8-8 this season. But the fact of the matter is they made it in two of his 3 years. Let's get to Ryan Pace. Now, he's the one people around the league for all had questions about, because, yes, we know that he took Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes. And also passed on Deshaun Watson, and they've not gotten the quarterback position right. He's the guy I do believe will be under tremendous pressure next season, less so when you look at Matt Nagy, because he's got to get the quarterback position right. And Pace, by the way, Pharrell, in their press briefing on Wednesday, made it clear that they're looking to improve the quarterback position. As far as Trubisky, you and I have talked about this last couple of weeks. He clearly has improved. They've not made it a decision whether he's going to come back, and they don't need to right now. My sense is that they need to see more out of him. They needed to see more out of him, but they were encouraged with the way he finished the season. You gave him a chance to win. Their defense played very well against the Saints, but you know, overall, they have not gotten as much out of him as they would like. I do believe, talking to the Bears, that not having an offseason clearly was detrimental to his progress, as it would be for any young quarterback who needs further development. But again, they haven't made that decision, but they're down in this situation, a quarterback. They're going to draft somebody. You could take that to the bank. The only question is, do they bring Trubisky back on a one-year deal, or do they let him walk? The fact of the matter is, there's zero chance that they won't draft a quarterback this year.
It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out in the second city. Let's talk about the Packers game with the Rams. Give me the latest on the Rams. We're hearing Goff's going. They got other issues as well with, you know, obviously Aaron Donald's ribs. And tell me about Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, so Cooper Kupp has got bursitis in his knee. Now, he hasn't really done anything this week because they want the bursitis to calm down, but they still believe he's going to be able to go. Jared Goff with his right thumb surgery, Pharrell, he took all the reps this week. He's ready to go. Donald says he's playing. They think he's going to play. That's a big one. And Jared Veldheer, this is interesting with the Packers, Pharrell. Jared Veldheer, who just signed to be a backup, unfortunately, he went on the reserve COVID list. But the good thing is no other players have tested positive. So that is obviously a good thing. But look, he just got there and he tested positive. That's obviously a disappointment. So he's on the reserve COVID list, but no one else has tested positive. So they're healthy. They're going to have all their key players for this game. And that's a good thing. And what should be a great matchup. But my issue here is they're just unable to score enough points. And no one has been able to stop this Packer offense. But this Ram defense is something else. They did such a number last week against Russell Wilson. Once again, in all three games they played against the Seahawks this season.
Well, you know, I respect their defense, and I'm locked in on that fully. What is the plan? Ramsey on Adams, that should be a problem for Adams. But what will Rodgers do if Ramsey takes away that side and that option?
Yeah, here's the thing. Now, the Rams will play a lot of man coverage. If Ramsey covers Adams, then you got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, who's their deep threat. And Alan Lazard, who had the core muscle surgery over 2 months ago, is still dealing with a little bit of it. Aaron Jones in the pass game as a running back, and Robert Tonyan, who's had a breakout season, double-digit touchdowns, who's a former college quarterback and wide receiver who's done a great job of transitioning to the tight end position, who's had really been terrific. And look at the chemistry that he has. But Davante Adams is the guy. There's no question about it. That, to me, is a matchup in this game. Davante Adams when Ramsey's is on him. But I would tell you, though, Ramsey doesn't always cover the number one receiver. They might line him up in the slot, so keep an eye on that matchup on Saturday.
So tomorrow on Coast to Coast, we'll get all of Adams' picks for the game Saturday and Sunday. Let's talk and break down the situation with the Ravens, Bills, and the B-low. Tell me about the Ravens' problems and then the Bills.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. There was a little bit of a scare. Matthew Judon, their starting outside linebacker. Listen, with an illness, anytime a team, let's say, play with an illness, you get concerned, but they are not concerned. They expect him to play. He did a little work on Thursday. That's a great thing. Marcus Peters with a back injury. He's missed a lot of time this season, at least in terms of practice, but they do expect him to play with his back injury. They don't even have an injury designation for the game, so they'll be able to go. The Bills, they've got the big injury. Zach Moss, the rookie running back who, talking to the Bills, they loved him. Farrell and short yardage. That's why they draft him. He's a power back to the changeup speed with Devin Singletary, but Moss has a significant ankle injury. He will not participate in the playoffs at all. Devontae Freeman, the veteran running back, signed. He's now on their practice squad, but they do expect to activate him for Saturday's game, and he'll back up Devin Singletary, who, quite frankly, Singletary is not probably performed to the level that they need him to, and unfortunately, they're not going to have Moss for this game, but they'll see about Freeman, whether he's got anything left. TJ Yeldon, who's a guy that was drafted by the Jaguars years ago, he'll give them help a little bit on third down and passing situations. A guy that has been around a long time, a drafty, a second rounder of the Jaguars. The reason why he's on the roster, simply he could catch the football. So look for Yeldon to be in there on third downs.
Adam, the short yardage guy was Moss. Does that now make Allen the short yardage guy because he's their best runner?
That's a great question. It's going to be hard for them because Singletary's not a short yardage back. Devontae Freeman might be that guy. He might have to. But here's the thing, though. And you mentioned Josh Allen. This is not a running team. They've tried to run it. They just don't run it very well. This, to me, is going to have to be a Josh Allen game. You got to put the ball up. That's what you're going to have to do to beat this Ravens team. We saw what happened with the Titans last week. But Josh Allen is going to have to put the team on his back. He did a good enough job last week. I'm expecting a minimum of 35 pass attempts in this game for Josh Allen.
Cole Beasley saying all the right things about his knee. How is it?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I would say about a week and a half ago, they did not think he'd be able to play in the wild card game, but he did. You give him credit. We're now in the divisional round. If you saw last week, they spot played him. He's a little bit better this week, and they do expect him to be in the lineup as their slot receiver. But again, I don't know that he'll play the same amount of snaps because he had a multiple-week injury, and again, he was able to play a little bit earlier than they expected.
So, Adam, how do you think the Bills' defense is going to do against Lamar Jackson when he takes off in that pocket and starts breaking ankles?
It's a great question, and here's what I expect to happen because we saw it last week with the Titans. The Titans, for the first quarter, really shut down Lamar Jackson. They had a spy on him. I would expect the Bills to do this. Sean McDermott and Leslie Frazier run their defense. They're going to have to do it. And I understand it's next to impossible because sometimes you cannot mimic. I know coaches always tell me with running quarterbacks, it's hard to mimic their motion and how they run. And you can't do it with Lamar Jackson. But I would expect them to have a spy on Lamar to try to limit and make him a passer. But you saw last week, Jackson made some big-time throws, including that big third down pass in the first quarter to Mark Andrews.
So tomorrow we'll talk Cleveland, Kansas City, and the big Bucks-Saints game with Adam Kaplan, and we'll get all of his picks for all four games. Adam, great stuff today. Thanks so much. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you.
There he is, Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider on Coast to Coast.
We'll be right back. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pharrell back on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid and on Sports Map, Byline, Mightier 1090, Sirius XM 204. Hope you dig us. We dig you. Carver High, a real quick question for you. If, you know, that blitz, the Ravens plan to pressure Allen despite the major improvement against the blitz, how do you think Allen will handle it?
He's been excellent against the blitz this year. He's been excellent against man coverage, which is what the Ravens want to do. They're saying they're going to throw it at him no matter what. They know how good he's been against it, but that is what their strength is, and they will continue to try it. So good luck, and we'll see if he can get it done against one of the best defenses in the NFL. I'm looking forward. As we get closer and closer, Scotty, I'm getting more and more jacked up for this game. Like, really, we're getting to Thursday now. You get me to tomorrow. I mean, I'm riding high here. Like, a Saturday night divisional playoff game with the Buffalo Bills at home. I wish I could drive to the B-Lo after the show tomorrow night and be there in the parking lot on Saturday morning at 8 a.m. for that game. That's what I
think you should, but I hope it goes better for you than it did for me on Sunday. I waited all week, all weekend, and Sunday night. It was like having an enema watching the Steelers. Real quick, Mike Evans hopes to be at 100% Sunday against the Saints. Lions, I told you about Brad Holmes today getting that gig. Jerry Font favored to land the GM job with the Falcons. He's been with the Saints. And the Colts are giving Rivers, another month to decide if he's going to come back. And let's get into some of these games now and listen to some of these coaches. How about we start with the Packers?
Yes, Packers-Rams first game on Saturday, of course, 4:30 p.m. Eastern. Let's hear from Packers coach Matt LaFleur. He knows that their offense has to be at their very best against the Rams.
They better
Anytime
be.
You're in a game with a team as talented and well-coached as we're going against, I think it always comes back to you. So our guys are going to have to do a great job of taking care of the football. I know the Rams have done a hell of a job of creating turnovers. And, you know, they know how to get pressure on the quarterback, and they do a great job in the red zones. Matter of fact, teams as of late have had a hard time getting to the red zone. So, you know, I just think that, you know, we're going to have to execute one play at a time.
To me, it's simple. They got to do a great job on Aaron Donald and then let Aaron Rodgers rip it. I mean, that's the bottom line. Keep that monster off of Rodgers' back, and I think the Packers win the game. And then Goff, I'm not impressed with Jared Goff at all, and especially with his bad thumb. And in freezing cold weather, I hope it's snowing and cold. We'll see. He won't even be able to move his hand. I think he's a wussy to begin with.
He is going to start for the Rams, by the way, Scotty. John Wofford officially out for Saturday, so it's going to be Goff running the Ram offense. Game number two, Saturday night. We were just talking about it. Bills and Ravens in the B-Lo. Let's hear from Stephon Diggs, Scotty. He is ready for the mighty challenge that is the Ravens secondary.
I know from Marcus Peters, he's been around the league since. We came in at the same time. I actually played him in KC as well. He's been a hell of a player since KC. Plays the ball well. He has hell of a ball skills. One of the, I'm not going to say few corners, because nowadays they got a lot of them with ball skills, but he's one of the few that tracks the ball extremely well. He's his hand on the ball. And then Marlon Humphrey is also a hell of a player, a guy that's been, he's so active around the ball. It's something that we've never seen as far as like being able to punch the ball out and strip the ball out. They got the most turnovers as far as any defense, as far as like forced fumble, and something that you not only write down, but something you take pretty serious. So those guys, not only are they great corners, but they guys that's getting the ball out, creating havoc for the defense and some playmakers. So it's definitely going to be a challenge for him.
Yeah, he was talking about Marlon Humphrey. He had a big game in Smashville. They got to worry about him for sure. 3 years ago on this very day, Carver High, what happened?
Yes, Stephon Diggs was involved in the Minneapolis miracle, that last second play against the Saints. So let's hope that Diggs has a little bit more luck and gets a win on Saturday against the Baltimore Ravens and gets to the AFC Championship game. Let's go to Sunday. First game, Chiefs and Browns. Let's start with Baker Mayfield. There will be no hangover, Scotty, from the big win over the Steelers. Baker says the Browns will be ready to go in Kansas City.
Okay.
I think everybody here does a great job of just hitting the reset button. You know, we, like I've said, we have a big picture mindset, but a singular game focus. And so you have to have that, especially right now. Every game is going to be extremely emotionally and mentally taxing. I mean, obviously the physical part comes on Sundays, but each week you're having to put everything you have into it during the week, and then you empty that bucket on Sunday. And so you just have to hit the reset button. And right now, I think our guys are doing a great job of that.
Look, I think he's starting to have a hell of a career in the NFL, whether people like him or not, and all of his TV commercial drama and everything else. I think the guy shows up for work and does his job, and I think he's getting better by the game, by the year. And I think he's growing up a lot. I think a lot of people still think he's a tool, but I'm beyond that. I think the guy's starting to make a name for himself for sure. I think he's a good player.
And, of course, Odell Beckham Jr., Scotty, has been out for a long time. He has not played in months, but doesn't mean he didn't want to get involved this week. Put the tweet out. We're not going to say guaranteeing the Browns are going to win on Sunday, but pretty close to it. I'm telling you first, Browns going to win on Sunday. So OBJ likes to get involved, Scotty, even though he will not be there with the team. I know we love Odell.
Is there anything worse than hearing from a guy that hasn't played in 2 months make predictions? Honestly, like, dude, have a sandwich. He's a great player, but he's not playing. Shut up.
Final game of the weekend, Brady versus Breeze, Bucks and the Saints. Let's start, Scotty, with Bucks wide receiver Chris Godwin. We know the story already. The Saints absolutely plastered the Bucks the first two times they played him, week one and in week nine. Godwin says the Bucks cannot focus on those past games.
Really, we just focus on ourselves, honestly. You know, on any given Sunday, you know, any team can win. So if we focus on ourselves and go out there and just handle our business, you know, I like us. You know, I like where we stand. I like my guys. You know, I'm sure they're going to come out there and be fired up and be ready to go. But it's our job to come out and be competitive and put our best foot forward.
Newsflash, you barely beat Washington. Slow down, son. Hey, Carver High, what was the number you were giving me the other day on the phone about the team that plays and wins the two, wins the third? How
yes.
many times?
I believe it's 12-4 the last 16. 12 win, they sweep it. They win the third game, and four did get it back and beat that and finally get a win over that team. So
yeah,
the trends and the odds. Yeah, I'll take the 12 as well. I'm on the Saints for sure. Let's go to Drew Brees now, Scotty. The matchup with Tom Brady, the oldest quarterback matchup in NFL history. Brees said he knew it was going to happen all along.
Tom and I have a friendship and a mutual respect. And, you know, we were texting back and forth on Monday, just kind of chuckling at this, you know, this whole scenario, right? Listen, he's 43. I turned 42 on Friday. So that's 85 years and a lot of football experience that's going to be on the field on Sunday. You know, when Tom Brady signed with the Bucs and I knew that he was coming to our division, I envisioned this game. You know, so what was that, 9 months ago, 8 months ago? I envisioned this game happening because I knew our aspirations as a team to be in the playoffs and beyond. And I certainly knew what he was bringing to the Bucks and that talented roster. And so I think this is probably where we all envision being at this point in the season.
The entire time he was talking, all I could think about was, if these guys are old, what does that make me? Like, I'm a senior citizen. I mean, honestly, like, calm down with all this old guy stuff. They're both still slinging it. I don't care what anybody says. This is a football game. This isn't the, you know, geriatrics convention on Sunday. Come on, stop already with the old man BS.
Let's take a look at the updated lines as we are now just 2 days away. We've made it to Thursday, Scotty. Saturday's games first. The lines are holding strong. Packers have been minus 6.5 for a few days now. It is still sitting there. Bills has gone up, has been up and down a little bit. It did touch 1.5 a couple days ago. Now back to Bills minus 2.5, Scotty. Saturday's games.
I got to go chalk. I think the Packers are going to roll the Rams, and I think the Bills are going to get by the Ravens, and I think the game at night in the B-Low will be, you know, the best game, and the second best for me will be Bucs-Saints. I still think Ravens-Bills is the best game, and I was right last week when I said, and I wasn't trying to be right, I said that the Colts and Bills would be the best game, and it was.
Sunday's games, let's do the same thing. Take a look at the, you know, really, just like on Saturday, has not been a lot of movement here. Chiefs have been minus 10 over the Browns since Monday. Saints have been holding strong at minus 3 over the Bucs.
I'm Chalk City. I got to tell you, I think Kansas City's going to whack the Browns. It's all going to run out their luck. And, you know, they had all that beautiful luck going their way in Pittsburgh. Let's face it, snap balls over the head, 3 straight picks. I mean, it was just crazy. Every pass they threw was a touchdown. That's not happening against Kansas City. I guarantee you that. And I'm going Saints for the trifecta.
You guys mentioned the Pittsburgh Steelers, you and Adam Kaplan, at the beginning of that segment. Mike Tomlin talked yesterday. This was before all the changes this morning. He did think changes needed to be made. I guess he didn't want to spill the beans yesterday. Here is your boy, Mike Tomlin, Scotty.
Obviously didn't anticipate being here in this position. Disappointed by it. Understand that, you know, we better make some changes in terms of the things that we do. We better look at every aspect of it, schematics, personnel, approach to business. I'm committed to that. I'm also committed to not sitting in this position, feeling the way that we feel right now as we move forward.
Listen, they fired everybody except Tomlin and Butler. I mean, the whole staff got fired. So I hope everybody's happy in Pittsburgh. Nice performance against the Browns.
Tomlin will sit on that one for a while. He needs a big bounce back year next year, Scotty. A lot of first round exits for the Steelers the last couple of seasons. Bears are bringing back Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, of course. We love hearing Matt Nagy. I mean, one last time, Scotty, this season, can we please hear Matt Nagy? And as he wants to embrace the challenge of getting the Bears back on top. Here's Nagy.
He better.
Well, we understand where we're at, and we get it. And we put our head down and we go and we do it for our fans, for our city, for our organization, for our players, for everybody. We need to do everything we can to get this thing right. We're going to exhaust ourselves, and it's a production-based business. So what the only thing we can do, and y'all have heard me say this all year long, is you figure out solutions and you find answers. And so big picture, I'm proud of our players. I'm proud of our coaches. Bigger picture is we need to do better. And what are we going to do and how are we going to do to get to that point? And so it starts right now, and it's an exciting opportunity. Is it going to be a challenge? Yeah. Is it going to be hard? Absolutely. But who doesn't want that? But let's go do it.
All right. Sure. Coach, thanks so much. Here's the deal. And I'll say this simply, you know, Pittsburgh's won 6 Super Bowls. So, you know, they can live with those 6 Lombardis in the foyer of their offices down there along the river. But let me tell you something. People don't realize how hard this is. This is no joke. It's like the Bills going 4 times in a row, losing all 4. It's very hard to get to the title game and to get to the Super Bowl and to win a Super Bowl. It's no joke. So everybody thinks they're supposed to do it every single year. You're absolutely tripping.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Stanford down 9.5 at Utah. Washington State getting racked by UCLA, 54-38 at the half. Colorado by 29 over Cal. That was a final. Wow, that was ugly. The Buffs mean business. My boy Thad Boyle doing a great job out there. Alabama and Bill O'Brien look like they're cutting that deal to be the OC. Four Bama players going to the draft. Mac Jones, Waddle, Surtain, and Barmore all going to the draft. Mike Hart leaves Indiana to go back and coach running backs at Michigan. I played basketball a lot with Mike Hart. The guy is fast as lightning, and he can jump out of the gym. Cool dude. Theo Epstein going to join the commissioner's office. Watch your back, commissioner, because Theo Epstein's going to take your job. Astros add Pedro Baez. Dodgers are in on Marcelo Ozuna. They won him. Mark Davis buys the NBA chick. Vegas aces team in the WNBA. Adrian Peterson ordered to pay $8 million on a defaulted loan. All these athletes going broke. Racehorse sold. Here you go, LTN. After his abnormally large onions were blamed for his poor form. One win in 15 races. He had grapefruit-sized onions. They showed the x-rays of this horse's sack. And then a man rushed to the hospital after being hacked with a machete on his front doorstep. Trump impeached for a second time. Siegfried died at 81 in Vegas. One of the largest mafia trials ever in Italy is going on. 320 mobsters suspected of facing an array of charges A to Z. Mickey Mantle card sells for $5 million. Lady Ferrellin Gaga will sing the national anthem at the Biden inauguration. And woo! I can't believe I got it all in, Carver High. What'd you think of that? Horse's onions.
Unbelievable. The horse's onions. You know what? And it always bothers me. $5 million for a baseball card. I mean, honestly, $5.2 million for a baseball card. We can't find something better to do with $5 million than buy a baseball card. Come on.
I mean, buy a Carver High, $5 million worth of Bud Light for the Bills game on Saturday night. And Bob Baffert would have done something about those horses' onions. He would have had a needle for that horse for sure. He would have figured all of that out. Game Time Decisions is next. I'll see you tonight on the bench at 10 p.m. Eastern on